Very good. Here's my first question. How about the band this morning? Yeah, really excellent.
Very fine.
Very fine. Superb as always. Okay. I would like this morning to get into the ideas that we see in the gospel today concerning being rich toward God. And it was sort of negative, I thought, in the presentation, but nonetheless, we're going to go for it. And what I'd like to do is begin with a quiz. Well, actually, a review of last week's quiz. So, another name for someone who is a priest is presbyter. All right, exactly, presbyter, because that's really the elder, the one amongst all the Christians who make sacrifices to God to make sure that teaching and worship goes on. That's the idea. Okay, now the main work of the church leaders are, well, let me see. That was not grammatically correct. The main work of church leaders is yes, equip the members for the ministry to which they are called. So the whole ministry is carried out by the whole church, and the leader's responsibility is to make sure that can happen by equipping the saints for the work of ministry, which is the King James version of that. So that represents a fundamental change, as we've seen, in the way the church is kind of perceived and the behaviors that we have in and around and towards the church. And it is really, well, the idea is this. It's no longer that we come up with a change of style for the same structure, hoping that someone will like that style better. It's that we come up with a new structure. It's substance instead of style. Now, in one of the ways that that plays out is this. It's not so much, for example, that a presbyter, such as myself, is telling everyone what to do, and the church tries to get the one who is the best style for our situation. Okay? See, that plus $1.83 will get you a small coffee at Starbucks. You see what I'm saying? All right. Instead, what it is everyone counts. Everyone has a significant place in the kingdom of God, and the leaders work to bring out the gifts and the dreams and the life that God's already given them. Now, this of course, is all review. It's not so much either that we become experts in a single style. We'll choose a style, we'll go with the style, we'll run with it, but it's not that that's the goal. That's not the goal. It's that we become rich towards God in such a way that it answers the cynicism of our culture towards the gospel. You didn't know anyone was cynical towards the gospel, did you? See, that's where, if we choose a style and we say we do this and then people will be attracted, that we hit a wall. And the wall is the cynicism in our society towards the gospel. And choosing styles will not answer the cynicism. It is the quality of our heart being transformed into the likeness of Jesus that begins answering the cynicism of the culture around us. And it makes inroads amongst the people we know, the people we relate to, and our friends with the gospel. Now, that's a huge shift. It's just an absolutely huge shift. And it's not complex. Or in any way, it's no more complex than the system of let's get a great style and see what we can do. It's just different. It's just a different thing. Now, if we are rich towards God in that way, then we become a fellowship which operates in a way that shows what it is to live a life that is rich towards God. That will carry everywhere we go. That aroma will be with us everywhere we are. That's what starts to permeate every corner of every place that we go. When the Spirit of God starts calling someone, even if they're cynical towards the gospel, and you and I echo the sound of that voice, then what we have is what the Apostle John wrote about in the book of Revelation. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. That's our job. Echo the voice of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God is working on someone, we begin to echo that in whatever way God asks us to. And in that way, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. That's what we want to see. So, okay, how does this work? Well, here we have Jesus dealing with these two brothers, and he gives some direct responses, and he tells a story, as he usually does. And here this younger brother is there in one of Jesus' larger teaching sessions. Did you ever notice how the younger brother is usually the one causing the trouble? So that's just an aside. Nonetheless, here's this younger brother. Now, Jackson, of course, is the exception that proves the rule. Just seeing if you're paying attention. Okay, so here we are. Somebody says, Jesus has this teaching, there's a large teaching session going on, and this person yells out, hey, Jesus, I want you to tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. Well, that's how you know that this guy is a younger brother, because only the older brothers, the firstborn brothers, had control of the inheritance. And it was the firstborn brother who decided all of that. So the younger brother comes and says, oh, Jesus, this guy. I mean, he's treating Jesus like, I don't know what, like he works for J.G. Wentworth. You know who J.G. Wentworth is now? I have a structural settlement, but I need cash now. Right. He wants Jesus to go get it for him. All right. Yes, I don't know. Right. Who knows? Who knows? All right. But you get the idea. Now, that's something that we can relate to. I mean, sometimes we go to Jesus because we need something from him, and we say, I got to have this. But then Jesus will say, sure. However, do you ever notice what Jesus says, however, most of the time, too? There's something wider that I'm calling you into, and that's for you to become like me. And this is how it is. And he starts telling them the story about a rich man who had all this money and possessions and land and barns and crops, and they all increased. Some, I don't know, we read Rich Dad, Poor Dad or something, and off he went into a passive income stream coming his way, and it kept coming and coming and coming. And he says, boy, this is great. I'm set for the rest of my life. Now, you and I read that, and we think, absolutely. The hearers of Jesus in the Middle East at that time would have been thinking, this is one of the most arrogant people we have ever heard of. Because a decision like, I'm going to stop working and I'm going to rely on my investments and crops and everything that's gone on, would not have been made individually. And maybe what we would do is we'd go to our financial advisor, maybe one other person, and privately, almost secretly, start saying, this is what I have, what can I do with the rest of my life? And then you decide that's what you're going to do, and off you go. In this culture, this, what would have been, according to the norm, was this man would have talked with everybody he knows, the entire social network that he had. And together, that decision would have been made. Now, it still would have been his responsibility, but he would not have held back anything from his neighbors, his friends, his entire extended family, which probably was right nearby in some way or other, everyone he did business with. They would just naturally talk about that. So, you know, people right away are shocked. It got their attention immediately, just immediately. And so they're, you can almost picture all those tears are there. Oh, wait a minute, this guy, he's so off. I hope I'm not that way. And the younger brother's thinking, okay. And all of this is going on. Jesus really, really caught them with that story. The bottom line for this young man, as well as for the man in the story, was that he thought his life was his own. And it's not. He thought he was free to make any choice he wanted because that's the way it is. I make up my own mind to make my own choices with my own life. And no one else can really tell me what else to do because that's the way it is. That's when Jesus took this example of a rich man who made his own choice without relating to the rest of the social network around him. It just points to the arrogance of all that. Now, we, of course, wouldn't go ahead in the way that the Middle Eastern culture did it. I'm not suggesting that if you are sitting on billions of dollars that you bring it up, all of us here today. I mean, we would listen very intently, but I'm not suggesting that that's what happens. I'm suggesting this. Your desires, your abilities, your gifts, everything that motivates you, everything around you, everything about your life, every bit of your personality, every relationship that you have, everything that has formed you, and every dream you have for the future is a gift from God. And he desires for it to be released for the service of his kingdom. Or as I've mentioned to you before, from time to time, as the prayer book says, to work, pray, and give for the extension of the kingdom of God. And in that manner, our life is not our own. Our life has a purpose, which comes from somewhere outside of ourselves. It has a code, if you will, which was written by the eternal hand of God's mercy before time began when he saw us. And he wants us to be released into that. And there's several ways that you begin to get in touch with that. And one of them is when you're stuck. When you're just absolutely stuck, you feel like there's walls all around you and there's nowhere to go and no way out. And it's becoming a dire situation, and you feel like you're caged or whatever it may be. There's only one thing you have that will get you out of that kind of a situation. And that's you. And by you, I mean the gifts, the desires, the motivations, the hopes, and the dreams that God has written on your heart. That's what will get you unstuck every time. Every single time. The gift within you, the dream you carry, the purpose that you have is always the way out of every dire situation. That wealth you have is your richness towards God. And to be rich towards God is what opens every door that boxes you in. Now, right at this point, some of you may be thinking this, it's easy for me to think this way. Right at that point, when I grasp that idea at whatever level, my mind will often go to a point of confusion, and that is I will confuse my purpose with the means of carrying it out. So if you are driving somewhere to lunch today, your purpose is to get to the restaurant, you can confuse that with your desire for some kind of BMW or whatever. My purpose is to have a BMW. No, it's not. It's to get to the restaurant. You see, the vehicle becomes the end. And it's not. It's just a vehicle. Okay, everybody okay? So we're thinking, well, I don't have enough time or money or strength or whatever it is to carry out the purpose the way that I see it. That will often happen in our thinking, and we'll go to that. To be rich towards God will mean that you do not carry out your purpose the way you see it. You carry it out wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever's going on around you, whoever's in your face or turning their back on you, or whatever's gone wrong or right or anything like that. You're carrying out that purpose everywhere, all the time, in the power of the Spirit. Here, there, and everywhere, as Paul McCartney once said. That's how that works. That's how your richness towards God increases. God has placed you in this fellowship at this time with these people, with what you have this morning at this table. And He will use that very powerfully in your life and the lives of others in ways that you may have never imagined at this moment. I want to give you just one more idea, then you may have some questions, which we can go with for a little bit today, because you came. You showed up, and you get that today. And then I have a challenge for you. I started out sharing with you this morning with the idea that it's not so much that we build a style and a program and try to get a leader who can carry that out the best, and then we'll attract people that we're not attracting. And the idea that if we get the right leader and do the programs in the right way, that's the sign that God will bless us and add people to us. And I'm saying we need to take a step away from that so we can add something into that. We don't give that up, because there's something in that that we love and that God has given us, which is a desire for the excellence of the kingdom. That's in the middle of that. But then carrying out the purpose of pursuing the kingdom needs some other things as well. And some of those other things are the gift that is within you and the present moment. And over the next few weeks, what we're going to be looking at is how the fire that is within you starts reaching into the community, to groups that no church is touching. Your richest towards God is the brightness of that fire. And when it joins into the fire of the Spirit resting on somebody who doesn't even realize it, then there is something about the extension of the kingdom that you and I can move in, that we may not have been able to move in before. We're going to take a close look at that. We're going to unpack that, because it can get easy in this church or any church to feel like we're stuck. We're at a plateau. We hit the ceiling. We're not going forward. And the only way out is the gift in here. And we fan that into flame. And we'll begin to see in other people who may even be cynical towards what you hold the same flame. And then you find yourself wanting to serve that people, that group of people, and befriend them, and see how they come to know Jesus at the level that you do. That's what we're going to be opening up. I could tell you a lot more about that.